Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and this is Dr. John. We are in full swing now with Season 3 of ScaryCast. It's good to be here. I've been on the road to Indianapolis at Horror Hound. Got to see a lot of my great friends like the She Squatchers, Lyle Blackburn, Bob Gimlin, Squatchman, and Squatchman Jr., and of course their beautiful, beautiful Sarah, the new baby girl that's an addition to that family. So it was wonderful seeing a lot of new friends, old friends, and just having a great time. So, but I'm kind of back to be, I'm glad to be back in Myrtle Beach, I'll tell you that. It was being, the life on the road is tough, and been in Georgia working on the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, Tennessee working on the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. So we just got a lot of great things we have planned here for the fall and the spring. So it's just good to be back here with ScaryCast. Of course, this is a special edition of ScaryCast here Monday night and September 16th. We will be back, of course, at our regular time on Thursday night on the 20th at 11 p.m. We'll be back with Devin and Papa Stroh and just the whole cast of people. And we got some great guests we're lining up. So please be sure to join us. But it's just great to be back here in the saddle at the computer for ScaryCast. Tonight, we have a really, really interesting guest. He's someone that I met before I embarked on my two-week road trip. He is the Gothic Mystic. Good evening, sir. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing really well. Just so glad to be back, sitting here drinking some ginger ale and talking on the radio. It's always a good time. You and I met because I'm a very curious person. And when I see interesting events that are taking place, I look at them, and I read about them, and sometimes I see if I can find the folks that are in charge or the folks that are speaking at them. Now, that's what happened when I sent you a friend request on Facebook, because you were talking at quite a brilliant little event that took place this weekend. Could you tell us a little bit about this weekend and what all went on and who all was there?
Yeah, basically my friend Truthseeker, I've known him for a few years. He's a rapper, but also a podcaster. He hosts the Truthseeker podcast on YouTube, and he's also on Facebook and iTunes and a couple other places. I've known him for a couple few years. And originally, you know, I was introduced to him through a friend at work. And I kind of don't usually do rap, but I love his music, and so I kind of started out as a fan, and I just kind of grew into a personal friend, and now it's almost starting to become like a business partner in a way, slowly. But he basically had me or wanted me to speak at there, and he knew that I had been developing into kind of a dream interpreter for a bunch of the people kind of the trouble there, and even for like friends and family. And he went ahead and wanted me to speak on that and the symbolisms and whatnot, and he spoke on the whole premise of the event was basically Christ consciousness, but in in a different perspective of like what the New Age pushes. We see it as the Christ consciousness is Holy Spirit and us, and through the transformation that we go through whenever, you know, Christ Jesus is kind of changing us and transforming us into him, we have his consciousness, the Holy Spirit, in us. So he spoke on like words and like how words can either be life or death. He gave different examples. He went into scripture base and different things, and I enjoyed his. I spoke in, of course, dream interpretation. Then we had another guy who does like a prophetic he has a very strong prophetic keyboard. He's also a rapper too. But I know a lot of people who are really, let me go inside, get away from my dog. He
okay.
this guy, a lot of people who are in the church mainly know, I guess, you know, prophetic playing the keys, how they just can, like, set an atmosphere prophetically and just kind of play prophetically. So we had him do that along with, you know, doing his thing. But with me, I spoke on the dream interpretation, kind of, I tried to put in at least about 2-3 hours worth of material in a short period of time, between 30 minutes to 45 minutes, ranging from like the very basics of it to what I call kind of advanced understanding and whatnot. So it was a challenge, but I enjoyed it.
Well, that sounds great. Now, when you're talking about dream interpretation, I have done a little bit of that. I guess my background comes from, there's an old book. It was published in the 60s called Edgar mm-hmm. Casey on Dreams. And by and large, the whole book boiled down to remember your dreams. He suggested
yes.
that you have a pad next to your nightstand, on your nightstand, and mm-hmm. that when you
yeah.
wake up, you know, have a light that you could cut on immediately or have a light on already and jot down
yeah.
what you remember. And Edgar Casey mm-hmm. says that if you can remember your dreams, they will self-interpret themselves to you. If you will think of what's going on in the dream, and you might see that there's a lesson that is being given to you for something that you're going through right now. So that's why he said, and that's the basis of what Edgar Casey mm-hmm. says, that you are your own best psychic. And I think that's true. I mean, if we can learn to trust ourselves and realize that we do have good intuition and we can learn to think mm-hmm. the right things, of course, dreams
yeah.
are a good guide. And don't you agree that just learning to remember dreams and all that is so helpful for dream interpretation?
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of people that I've really noticed don't automatically have that intuition, that knowing. Because I can tell you right now that there are so many dreams that I have that I'm like, what the crap does that mean? You know, so of course, you know, the Lord has kind of taken me, it's taken me probably about 3 or 4 years to really, like last year, I went through a season where He just opened up my dreams to me. I started, and like all the stuff that I had been studying and didn't make sense, it all just finally clicked with me. And so I was finally started being able to just kind of see things and say, okay, this is this. That doesn't match up with this. Or like, you know, if I saw my mother in the dream, a lot of times my mother is symbolic of Holy Spirit. So I'm having to take in context of what they're doing. And like, okay, that doesn't look like something Holy Spirit would do. What does it look like? Something my mother would do. And then many times it's even my mother. It could also be like a symbol of a motherly type figure. So, you know, I actually use that like a dream I had a couple of years ago as a good example, because when I say this, both of my parents are still married and they love each other. So, but in this case, my mother was like driving up in her car, and she was talking about her and my father, you know, that they're going to get divorced, period. But what I didn't realize, and it was too late before I could even, you know, change the circumstances, change the future. My mother in the dream was actually someone who I considered a mother type figure. I even call her mom all the time, just because, you know, her son is just a few years younger than me, so it was just easier. But they ended up getting a divorce, and I didn't realize it. I didn't realize until too late that it was her. And so it wasn't until probably, I think it was either earlier this year or sometime last year, when I realized that I could actually, if I have the understanding of that dream, I can pray into it, or I can even make actions in the waking world in order to change the circumstances in that dream and even change the outcome of in the waking world. I like to call it changing the future. You can call it whatever you want. To me that just has like a nice little cool ring to it.
Yeah, well, that's great. So what do you mean when you talk about praying into a dream? What do you mean by that?
If you can't do anything in the natural realm. Like, for instance, if someone you know is dealing with something and you can't physically do something, well, okay, I'll use another example. I actually use this in the conference. My sister recently gave birth to my niece. And so in that dream, I saw my niece as potentially having a head issue if my niece was born too early. So clearly in the natural realm, I can't do anything to make her give birth on time, you know, like full term. So what I ended up doing through the guidance of the father, he had me tell specific people at the right time to pray towards that, to basically pray into the dream and try to push the delivery time to the correct time. What ended up happening is, because of me doing that, we were able to push the baby's time to full term. So whenever she was born, she was full term, and she has no medical issues. She is completely healthy. So that's what I mean by, like, praying into the dream.
And so that really happened. You felt like you were able to actually change the future by praying into the dream, right?
Yeah, man. I don't know how it was spoken to me, transferred to me, whatever you want to call it, but in the dream I just had this knowing that the earlier she was born, the more risk she would have of having a head issue. And what I found out, like, I think it was early August or something like that, whenever I had dinner with my grandmother, because I had mentioned, like, I'm glad that I haven't got any updates from my sister. She's like, oh, you didn't hear? Your niece's head is not growing. And so that was like mid-July. I'm like, so that was like a big holy crap. What I actually saw is actually happening. And, you know, my nephew was born 2 months early. So that was, so if she would have gone around the same time, or would come been delivered around the same time that my nephew was born, she would have had some kind of head issue. She would have had some kind of medical issue involving the head. And so by us being able to pray into it and change the future, she is completely healthy.
Well, that's amazing. And so you were able to, you did the prayer like during the day and whenever, correct?
I just did it whenever it came to mind, like when in between things. Even if I didn't know what to say, I would just pray in tongues, just kind of speak it out, speak health over her and my sister, just kind of anything that really came to mind just here and there. And I don't know what my parents did. I don't know what my grandmother did in order to do it, but that, I just kind of did my side and I did my best. And yeah, since I understood the sensitivity and the complexities of things and the importance, I was nervous whenever she was born. And my mom texted me kind of the information whenever she was born. And I'm like, is that normal? Because, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't know that stuff. She's like, in comparison to her body, she is normal. I'm like, thank God. So it was an interesting experience, but also improved my, what's that word I'm looking for? My confidence in how accurate I was in that and being able to help family change that circumstance. And so I have other examples of where I literally changed the outcome, changed the future. And I'm still seeing stuff as we speak in different circumstances. But doing that, it's amazing being able to do that stuff.
Right. I mean, that's a little bit speechless here. Me being speechless, that's kind of funny. But, I mean, yeah, that's amazing that you were able to do that. How many times, because I'm leading you to a story that I've got. So about how many times do you feel like you've been able to change the outcome of something through prayer?
Let me think here. One, two. I use about four or five different examples. I use both failures and successes. Got my roommate's cat trying to love on me whenever I'm talking to him at the same time.
Well, that's good. It's good that your cat loves you.
Yeah, true. It's true. Let me see. I got that one. I got that one. I know there's more because I'm about 3 or 4 months behind putting it down on a physical form. Because right now I actually record all my dreams on my phone and then type the stuff out later. And I have about 7 or 8 notebooks of dreams over the past, I think since like 2015 that I have. Again, I didn't come to the understanding of all this until here recently. So I know of at least 2 for sure. And if there's more, I'm unaware of it right now, or at least they're not coming to mind. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, that's fine. What I wanted to share with you and share with everyone is there was an article in Psychology Today. I might have shared this with you, but I want to share it with everybody. They compared the brain activity someone who was praying with someone who was meditating, and they did a scan to determine what was going on, and they got people like, I think they got a bishop and a well-known priest who felt like they were good at praying and having good results from it. They also got some practitioners that did meditation. And so what happened is they compared the brain activity. Now, for those who were doing meditation, it quietened down. It got very quiet and very still. There was not a lot going on. However, those who were praying had the same reaction in their brain as we have when we are talking to each other. It's as if you're praying, you are actually being heard by an entity, and you are, or you may very well receive an answer. So I thought it was very interesting that prayer is an extremely active way of communicating with a higher intelligence. Most people call it God. We can call it whatever we wish, but we are talking just as if you and I are talking right now. And I thought that was very, very interesting.
That was actually something I've always pushed on my channel, is that whenever we are praying, however we are, we are supposed to be basically, speaking to, we're acting like we're speaking to our friend or a best friend, with the religious, many times, we always see pictures of people on their knees with their hands folded, praying. I'm not saying it's bad, but that's like the common image of that. But do you get on your knees whenever you're talking to your best friend? No.
Correct.
Do it normally. Some people pace. I'm a pacer. Whenever I'm on the phone with someone very close to me, I pace the house. Or, if we're in the same room as your best friend, you're just chilling, sitting on the couch or on the sofa or wherever you are, having a normal conversation. You're not on your knees with your hands folded in front of your best friend talking to them. That would be weird.
Correct. I'd never thought about that, but you really got a good point there. I think that we can all learn from that. I can tell you that in what I call prayer, I do it everywhere and anywhere. I'm there, and I think it, and I hear it in my head. I hear the speaking that I'm making, and apparently I'm making an impression on someone or something. It's listening because That's the type of brain reaction that I'm getting.
Yeah. Of course, you know, like I said, there's nothing wrong with staying on your knees and feeling your, especially if you're having to teach your young ones who haven't built up that knowledge yet. And also, I'm sure there comes a time whenever you can do that, and it shows reverence to the Lord whenever you're doing it, especially when you're, you know, reverence or what is that word? Or humbleness, knowing that, okay, like, Lord, I can't do this. I'm at my wit's end. I need you. And you get on your knees. Oh, that's right. And you get on your knees to talk to the Father.
Right. Well, I think this is an interesting idea about it's called how to pray. And it's something that I know in the church, when I was growing up, they never taught me how to pray. They said, let us pray. And then someone at the front of the church would say a prayer.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Nobody had ever instructed me. They hadn't.
Yeah.
I wish I had. Maybe they didn't know either. And I don't think that prayer is as effective if it's spoken as when it is said internally. That's the idea that I get. Well, you know, it's we can agree to disagree. Now, why do you think so?
And that's fine. Now, mind you, I have had prayers, and you know, answered almost immediately whenever I thought it. Like I want to say it was 2015, 2016. I was in the hospital with a friend of mine who I was discipling at the time, and I had another friend of mine who I was very interested in, like romantically wise, but me and her were there for the person I was discipling. And we were trying to figure out how we were going to do this shift work. You know, one of us stay there for a few hours and the other one come in and kind of relieve the other person. And what I realized that we can't do this. I'm like, and in my head, I'm like, Lord, we need someone else. And 1 second later, another person from the young adult group walks in, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, for that instant answer. And I'm like, dude, I need you to help us do a rotation. It's like, all right, I'm in. So it's like I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but to me, speaking the prayer out helps. But that could just be my personality.
Okay, yeah, I mean, and it really could. I just think that for me, praying internally and hearing myself say the words inside my head, that's what works for me.
Now I want to remember another reason, too. Okay, so, again, this what works for me. I'm sure everyone has their own thing, but this is actually something I actually taught the girl I was discipling a couple of years back whenever I was trying to help her comprehend something. And not saying I'm trying to do the same thing with you. I was giving an example. Whenever the Lord first created, you know, the heavens and the earth, and every single thing he created, he spoke it out. He didn't think it, he spoke it. And so since words have power to it, you know, it could be both a curse, and it could also be a blessing, you know, it can bring life or it can bring death. Words are, you know, words affect everything. And so that's why I say with me, if I'm speaking something out, to me, I feel like I'm doing something even though I don't see it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. It does. But I think, you know, each to their own.
Exactly.
But either way, we're still talking about the most powerful thing that we've got, which is prayer. Now,
yes,
atheists will not agree, and many scientists will not agree because many scientists are silly, and they do not believe in any type of soul. They don't believe in anything. And that's one reason I got out of that silly business is because scientists that don't believe in any form of worshiping or religion, I think, are devoid of anything. And just, you know, I won't say any more. I'm not here to say bad things about people. But the whole point is, you know,
I
think that it's a very powerful thing that we've got, and it can ward off evil. Prayer can ward off evil. It can ward off bad things. It can bring good luck. It can bring good fortune, and it can bring many things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that prayer can bring anything bad. Now, it can bring unexpected results if those unexpected results can turn into exactly what needed to happen, which is a fact.
Yeah.
We had the same thing like that happen to you. But, yeah, you know, it's not going to bring anything bad. Especially, I mean, if you believe in what you're doing, if you believe in the power of prayer, you will certainly be rewarded, and I think that's wonderful. I feel good. Whenever I go into a place that I don't feel is safe or good, I say a prayer, and it immediately gets better.
Mm-hmm.
It just can't get worse.
Yeah.
So nothing, no form of evil can. I don't believe any form of evil can compete against the power of prayer. So that's what I think. And now you were talking earlier, and I think when we first started talking, you were talking about dream interpretation. Now, my viewpoint was that Edgar Cayce said, just write them down, and you'll see how they map over into your life. Well, what are some of the strategies that you've had in terms of dream interpretation? And what are some of the guidelines or ideas that we can be aware of to help us interpret our dreams?
Let me see here. I'm trying to figure out what's my field. I know there are some people who have the very basic dream when you're walking down the road and you see a skunk in front, and you kind of walk in front of you, walk across the road in front of you. You know, those are like really the basic dreams. And then you have the much more complex dreams where there's multiple scenes in the dream, and there's multiple different symbolisms and whatnot. And those right there are one of the reasons why I say is with me, even writing them down doesn't always do it. There are so many times where I'm having to, once I take the dream down, I'm having to break it down bit by bit. And I have seen, and everyone has their own dream language. And when I say dream language, I mean like everyone's experience in life is different. So what you see, or what I see as a plus or a positive, you might see something fear. You might see danger or something along those lines. Like, for instance, I was talking to someone the other day that, actually, I think it was at a friend's house the other day, where he saw a snake, and he was trying to warn his wife, yada, yada. And he was fearful of the snake. But in some cases, some people love snakes, and so they would see, and snakes could be symbolic of healing, wisdom, or in some cases, fear, deceit, those kind of things. And so in his case, he was seeing it as fear and potential deceit, while others might see it as a form of healing or a form of wisdom, where you also have to take into account, what is that snake doing? And so when I say your dream language, it depends on how you were raised, how you grew up, what fears you have. And so in different scenes, I have noticed, at least for certain ones, like if you have two or three scenes in a dream, all three of those scenes might actually be saying the same thing, but from different perspectives. But other times, like with what I call story dreams, and that's a term I've given it just to help me learn the stuff. A dream would just play out, and you have no idea what it means. But then, sometime later, you have another dream, and in that dream, you either know, or in that dream, you even remember, or somehow the previous dream is referred to it, you know, is referred to, and so you'll know, oh, these two are connected. Okay, let me tie those together. But you still only have part of the story. So like I said, there are so many different types of dreams out there that the people who have multiple different forms, they really have the job cut out for them, because they have to spend some time with them and say, all right, what does this mean? Is this, you know, with me, I've noticed that mine are generally months down the line, while others I have noticed are current or maybe like a few weeks to a month down the line. So there are so many different aspects that you have to take from it and really learn how they play out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It really does. And I was just thinking that there are times when you have brief snippets of dreams that are actually very instructional.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I remember one time, do you ever get to those times when you watch too much news on the internet? Do you ever have those times when you're catching yourself going to CNN or Fox News or wherever and catching too much and spending too much of your time? Well, you know, I remember it was a while back. I dozed off during the day and I saw myself tearing up the news feeds. And that said to me, John, you're looking at too much of this. You're spending too much time on it. And the dream was right. I mean, I saw myself literally ripping it like it was a page of newspaper. And so I think we can have those little short daydreams, you know,
that can
provide guidance and everything. We just have to listen to them and realize they're there for us. Maybe I am just lucky. I get a lot of them, but yeah, it was true. I just saw myself tearing it up. So I stopped looking at news so often, maybe twice a day instead of every hour, because it's not that interesting. It's not even news hardly. It's more like opinion than news. And that doesn't do anybody any good. Only news does you good if you're trying to look at news.
Here's a different perspective on you. So you were saying that you were kind of tearing something up in there, right?
Yep.
Well, here's a different perspective. You I think some of the people that you run with, you are against the mainstream media. So in a way, you are trying to tear up and get rid of and kind of break down the mainstream media, mainstream news. And that's pretty much kind of what you're trying to do. So that's a different perspective.
Yeah, I think, you know, whichever perspective you use, I got to the main
exactly.
message, and that was important. You know, because that's one reason you need to get sleep. And I mean, I know this the old fashioned thing, you need to get 8 hours of sleep. Well, maybe you can't get eight, but you need to at least get six so that you can get into that REM state, so that you can get to dreaming and your subconscious can start instructing you. Because during the day, what instructs us? Our conscious. So, you know, we've got to get the subconscious has got to clear out the cache, so to speak, you know, clear out all the clutter and everything in our brain and instruct us so that we can get back moving and start the day fresh.
And, you know, what I was showing you there is that there are and can be multiple different perspectives, but there's always going to be that one perspective that fits it perfectly at that time. But I also say don't throw out the others, because those others could be, what is that word I'm looking for? Could be good later down the road, but the right perspective will always show itself whenever you need it the most.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's what your brain is for. I mean, your brain works, you know, where we work maybe 16, 17, 18 hours a day, our brain works 24 hours a day. Even when we go to sleep, it's there thinking and trying to help us, because it's like we don't just go to bed and turn off the lights, turn our brains off, and wake up the next morning and have happy dreams.
Exactly.
That's not the way it works. But I think too many times we were taught that, you know, that just the fact that there's no real instruction. We have instruction on physical education. We have instruction on history, mm-hmm. mathematics, and everything. But in school, we have yeah. no instruction on one-third of our life, approximately, which is dreams. Don't you find that interesting and strange?
Yes and no, because there are some people who never have dreams. So those people who never have dreams, that portion would be irrelevant to them. But I completely understand where you're going with that.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is how can you not have dreams? You have to have dreams. It's just whether or not you remember them. I would think.
True.
Now I'm not an expert, but I would think that mm-hmm. since dreams are an integral part of our life, that mm-hmm. those people that say they don't have dreams simply don't remember them, and they may need
yeah.
to work on
yeah,
techniques to remember them. I mean, because again, our brain's working for us 24 hours a day. Not just 12 hours. I mean,
yes.
we don't stop breathing because we go to sleep. Our autonomous
sure.
nervous system continues to work, and our autonomous nervous system is connected to our brain. So our brain works 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's what I think, and maybe I have a strange viewpoint.
Yeah.
But you know, it does it does help, and I'm glad it does, and.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this now is a good time for me to talk about an interesting topic, something that has come across to me in, like, the last 6 months. I have met
okay.
a group of folks that do something called mind speak. They send and receive mm-hmm. thoughts to entities such as Bigfoot, Dogman, the forest people in general. And I find it very interesting because I've asked them some questions that they – and they seem to be able to answer them very quickly, things that they really wouldn't know about. And the idea that some people can perform mind speak or send and receive messages from other entities that the normal people can't do, then that tells me that, you know, we all can. I mean, that's what I've been told. We all can. We just have to learn how to hear what is being said to us, because I think they can hear everything we say. But we can't always hear what they say, whoever they are, the forest people or whatever. So, I mean, and that's not one that we talked about, but I mean, do you have any opinions on that?
I just say be careful because I'm not saying that they aren't, but even if they are, or those who try to do that, they may be speaking to something that is not actually what it claims to be. Does that make sense?
Well, that's where you and your intellect have to be able to decide what is right and what is wrong, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
Because look, there are good and bad people in the world. We interact with the good
Correct.
And bad. There are good and bad entities that mind speak. So we have to know which one, like,
yeah.
you know, you know, your parents said, don't hang out with Bobby because Bobby's not a good guy, you know, or Bobby's family's not good. Don't hang out with Bobby. And so you didn't hang out with Bobby, even though Bobby might try to be your friend at school. Well, I think it's the same thing with mind speak. You're not, you know, not every entity that tries to speak with you or that you hear is going to be a good one. But that's what choice is all about. I mean, you know, people say that. You know, you hear serial killers saying, well, there was this voice that was telling me to go out and kill somebody. Well, you know, I think many of us know not to do that. We know that that is not a good voice.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Again, like anything new these days, you got to be careful with it until you get the hang of it. Does that make sense?
That is exactly right.
That,
let me ask you, if you can speak a little closer.
Goes with any other sports too.
If you can speak a little closer to the microphone, that would be great.
Better?
All right. Yeah, that's a little
cool.
better. But yeah, okay, I think it's just something
cool.
we have to learn. And so when you talk about, now I want to get back to another thing you talked, when you talked about the Christ-centered approach, I hate to, because I know that's such a broad statement, but what, can you kind of define that a little bit for us, and and maybe give us an example so that we can understand you? We're all here to learn, especially here at ScaryCast.
Basically, it's, Christ Jesus is the door. So anything and everything that we do, we're supposed to go through him, whether that's, speaking to the Father or, or trying to communicate with whatever. Like with me, it's like, if you want, and I know there are some people out there who want to, or, try to speak with their dead loved ones, which technically is scriptural. It's just not commonly viewed as that because when Jesus went up to the garden, and I think, was it Peter and John? I forget who he brought up there, but he spoke with Enoch. Was it Moses and Elijah? I think it was Moses and Elijah. And technically that is speaking with your ancestors. And so whenever, for the people who are wanting to do that, we're just kind of wanting to speak with or talk to other entities, I would always suggest just going to the Father with it, which of course is going using Jesus as the doorway because he is the only way to the Father. Speaking to the Father is like, hey, Father, I want to speak with so-and-so or one of your angels or whatever. And then, allowing that communication to start that way rather than going out on your own. Like, I'm going to try to make contact with whatever and see what happens. That's simply my opinion, though. And that's kind of how I see things. And it's kind of avoiding any extreme risk.
Avoiding the risk of contacting a spirit that's not a good one, or is not who
exactly
you are. Right.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that, again, certainly not required, but an idea that will never hurt. It will never hurt to do it that way.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. Well, I tell you what, you've given us a lot of great insight on some some things that we can do to just live a little bit better and or a lot better and be more productive. So, what would you say in terms of if you had to give 3 points? Now, I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but I think you can probably do it. If you wanted to give us 3 points, or even just 2, on how to approach better Christ-centered relations as you live, so what are a couple of points that you would suggest?
First and foremost, just growing in relationship with him. That's to me, that's first and foremost because everything else will come with that. I'm trying to word it correctly because as you do that, everything else will come with it. So of course, growing with relationship, how does that look like? You got communication or what we call prayer. And then some people, there are other ways of doing it. Some people, I know some areas actually kind of look down upon what I'm about to say here, but it's like, whatever, I've seen it work on my end. Is whenever you sit down and you write, you type out whatever, what you're asking the Father, and then you type out whatever you feel like you're hearing in response. And that's, that's another method of testing how well you're hearing from the Father and whatnot. It kind of, that's helping to improve your clarity in hearing from him. And then what is another one, Lord? You got the prayer, you got doing it that way, and just kind of going back to the scripture on everything. And I know some people will say that sounds very religious, but the thing is that the Lord goes, he goes through everything when it comes to scripture. So And when I see a scripture, I personally also include some of the Apocrypha, you know, like Enoch and, you know, and a couple of others of those. But if what he says or what he refers to, you know, if you're dealing with something and he says it's like this story, and he, you know, and he points out a story in his word that he's, you know, that he's drawing a parallel with your life, then you know that it is him. And you can, you know, and of course you can get more detail from that. But to me, that's three different ways that you can do it. And that's, I go back and forth between different methods when it comes to those three and a couple others, but that's kind of how I do it.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's very helpful. I mean, when you're talking about typing what you think you hear, well, that's a little bit like mind speak, you know, just repeating what you're hearing in your head.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, it's another way of describing it. There are lots of ways to describe lots of things. So, I mean, what I can say is this is a whole very interesting, it's a very interesting topic. And now, in closing, and now this is not to say we're done in a second, tell us a little bit about what all went on this weekend at the conference, and who all spoke, and what were some of the topics, and what did we learn, and everything. Are you okay with doing that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yep. He spoke on basically how powerful our words are and the certain vibrations that we put out, like the different vibrations of like music and the frequencies. And he even used an example of, I think he and his family even did it, where they set out two different containers of, I think it was rice, where each day they spoke life, they spoke blessings over one, but then the other, they spoke curses, they spoke, you know, all negativity. And after a certain amount of days, the one where they spoke life looked just as pristine, if not better than before, while the other one was all moldy. It was like, it was really starting to stink, you know, and whatnot. So it was very clear, you know, what the examples that he did, and he just kind of gave different biblical examples and words and kind of and whatnot. And then I spoke on, I kind of started out with like how I began up to the point of, you know, of where I started to learn and everything kind of clicked with me. And I basically shared some of what I shared with y'all tonight, but I gave more detail, kind of gave more examples, and it was good. Truth and the guy who played the piano, I think his name was Influence, they both performed a few songs and whatnot. So it was enjoyable. We even went, I think a few of us even went to, what is it? Sandwich restaurant that they enjoy. We went out to eat afterwards. So it was a good fellowship time and the time of learning and just kind of teaching and whatnot.
Okay, well that sounds wonderful. Yeah, I like those events where you get together, you learn, and then you go out and eat and have fellowship and kind of reflect on what went on. Those are always good. Well, you know, it's been wonderful getting to talk to you about this, and I've learned a lot. I hope the people listening to this podcast, either tonight or whenever they listen to it, you know, there's some great helpful things here to make you have a better day. That's what we're all looking for is a better day and being positive. And I like the short story you said about, you know, saying good things over a situation made it better, saying bad things made it worse. And I think that's very true. I mean, positivity really can change everything. It can change everything. So whenever you're mad or you're upset, just kind of train yourself to get positive about it. And lo and behold, things will get better. I know people say, John, that's stupid. I remember I was in graduate school, and there was this girl named Rhonda. Rhonda was always in a bad mood. And I was very conscious of, you know, trying to be helpful, cheerful, and, you know, and having the old positive mental attitude. And it was real funny. One time, you know, she was having a particularly bad day, and so I was talking to her, and I said, you know, you just can't get so down and this and this and this. And she said, I'm just so sick of your positive mental attitude. It doesn't do any good. And I said, you're right, Rhonda. If you don't believe in it, it won't do any good. So why don't you just laugh? And for some reason, she started laughing, and things got better for her. It's a fact. If you don't believe that a positive mental attitude will help you, then it won't. But if you believe that it will, it will, because we, our entire lives are created by what we believe, or at least the majority of them. I mean, you know, you can't, you know, whenever a situation comes up, it comes up and you have to handle it. No point in worrying about what might happen, because it might, because God knows it might not happen. And then all you did was worry, and you lost all that time that you were worrying. So, you know, and I just try to remember when I see my friends in a bad mood, I try to give them some, you know, some serious positive mental attitude, because it can only help, can't hurt. And that's what I think. And I think that's what you've said, And look, you know, we really do appreciate you being on here. Will you come back again sometime and give us another dose of positivity? That would be great. We'd love to have you anytime. Of course, we'll stay in touch. But we have had the Gothic Mystic, and he's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the things that I've heard. They've been uplifting to me, and I hope they've been uplifting to all of you that listen to ScaryCast. Yeah, I know we talk about the paranormal. We talk about Bigfoot, aliens, UFOs, ghosts, whatever. So I thought it was a good time to talk about some more positive things in our life. And I just heard a clang over there in my kitchen. I wonder what it was. Who knows? But whoever you are, you get a positive mental attitude, you ghost or spirit, or if it's nothing, you get a positive mental attitude and everything will be better. And I believe it, and I hope you do too. Anyway, I was just speaking to the whatever it was over there. But anyway, I'm speaking to you, the Gothic Mystic, and saying thank you so much. And you have a great evening, and we'll all be back now. We've got a regularly scheduled ScaryCast coming up this Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern time, here on ScaryCast.com, Spreaker, and several other outlets that you can listen to us on. And VOC Nation, and thank you so much, Brady Hicks and VOC Nation, for having us. So, have a good one, and until next time, this is Dr. John saying we'll see you next time on ScaryCast. Take care, Gothic Mystic.
You too. Take care.